Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you bring a Bible this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Would you grab your Bibles and stand to your feet just one more time with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your Bibles up and let's declare and speak over the word this morning. This is my Bible. It is the infallible word of God. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Praise God. No matter what the devil says, we don't like him anyways. No matter what the world says, they've checked out. So who cares what they say? And no matter what my circumstances say, because they're about to change. Today, I'm a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I'm going to receive everything that God has declared in the name of Jesus. Shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated in the house of God and open up to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I was kind of thinking we might get a little bit away from this, but the Lord said, no, stay on this. So we're going to stay on this. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 4. We've been talking about what Jesus spoke about himself back, you know, when he's standing in the temple one day, he's preaching. Imagine that. The preacher of Galilee is preaching in the temple. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, red letters in your Bible, Jesus speaking, but he's quoting. We call it the Old Testament. In his case, it would have been the scrolls of the great prophets. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of God is upon him. And then he begins to tell why the anointing's on him. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Yes. Now, you and I, we started this series dealing with, you know, John, the book of John, where it says, where Jesus said, the things that I do, that's what we're talking about right now, you're going to do and greater. So if we're going to do greater, before we can do greater, we got to at least be doing what he did. Amen. And if he was anointed to do something, how much more do we need to be anointed? He is God. Do you think he really needs the anointing from heaven? No. But he did that. It was demonstrated to show us, to teach us that we can't do this without the anointing. Amen. Amen. Everything Jesus did was an example for us, that we follow his model. We follow his pattern. So the anointing is upon him to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. To the poor, that means the needy, somebody who's in need of something that only God can provide. Amen. We talked about that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So healing, not just physical healing, you know, because of sickness and disease and ailments, but also the brokenhearted. Yes. Those who are just, they've given up, you could say. Life has just whacked them around so much, so hard that that's it, they're done. But Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Yeah. Mm. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many people over the years, we're going on 43 years of ministry. You and I will never know until we get to heaven. How many people who have walked through our doors brokenhearted? Yeah. This was their last shot. This was their last stop. Hoping, looking for something because they couldn't find anything out there. And God led them in here and they came in because the world can't fix it. Nothing against medical. They can't fix it. Thank God for medicines because most of you would be dead without them. Thank God for all of that, but that just couldn't do it. They had no hope, but yet they show up in God's house. And churches like ours all over the planet where God comes in and heals the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive. To preach freedom. You don't have to stay where you're at. Amen. You don't have to stay bound to what you're bound to. Right. Love it. Amen. He's anointed to do this. If we're going to do what he did, that means we're anointed to do this. And recovery sight to the blind. Right. physical and spiritual, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That word bruised translates to crushed, but also means oppressed. And that's what the Lord said to deal with here this morning. That Jesus Christ is anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that are oppressed. Verse 19 says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Why do I keep adding that? Because we need to understand this, that when Jesus came to this earth, and because the next verse that goes on and says, he closed the book, he shut the scrolls, and he said, today this has been fulfilled in your eyes, or your ears rather. And what he was saying is, I'm here. This is now the season. This is happening right now. This is why I'm here. And then when he said to his disciples, you're going to do the same things that I do and greater, he's saying, listen, just because I'm leaving doesn't mean the season's over. Because you're here, the season is continuing. Yes. And this season, I'm here to tell you this morning, and I've been saying this off and on through this series, that season will not expire until Jesus Christ comes back for his church and we leave this planet. Yes. We are still in that season where these verses are working in our lives. Can you say amen? Yes. Amen. So the Lord said to deal with this for a few moments this morning, again on to set at liberty them that are oppressed. Because as I was meditating on this, and I was just kind of, in my office, I always get here early. You know, I have my message going, my notes going, and in my office, I'm usually not really going over my notes as much as I am praying. Lord, am I still staying on what I studied last night, what I wrote last night? Is this where I'm going? And usually the Lord begins to speak to me in my office, like just certain little things about different things. And what he was dealing with me this morning on is most people, most Christians, are living today, especially, are living under oppression, and yet they don't even realize it. Wow. That the enemy has infiltrated our churches, and he's got believers living under oppression, just keeping them crushed, pushed down, to the point where if they're doing anything for the kingdom, it's very limited. Wow. But most are doing nothing because they've developed this attitude, this mentality of, why bother? It just doesn't seem like it's going to get any better than this. Now, unfortunately, over the years, I've listened to people, they develop this. Now, listen, we all want to go to heaven, right? I want to go, but we don't have this, forgive me, but we don't have this suicidal mentality. We're not trying to speed it up. We're all looking forward to going to heaven one day and being there, but we're not trying to speed this up. Amen. We're enjoying the trip along the way. But there are others who are, they sit there and, oh, may Jesus come soon. I'm just waiting for him to come. Well, we're all waiting for him to come back, yes. Yeah. But their attitude, their mentality, oh, he's got to come now. Well, what happens if he doesn't? What if it's another 50 years? What if it doesn't happen in our lifetime? Right. What are you going to do then? What they don't realize is they're living under that spirit of oppression. And Satan would love nothing more to get the church there. Yes. Now, if you study church history, you'll find the church has gone through waves. Many times has been there. And not the entire body of Christ. But as I'm watching some people today, we can see it. And this is what the Lord was dealing with. He said, even in your church, that's not something a pastor wants to hear. He said, but even in your church, there are some that are living under this spirit of oppression. And they don't even realize it. So this is, I believe, why the Lord's having us deal with this morning. Amen. Yes. To expose the enemy. Yes. To deal with the enemy and to kick him out of our lives. Yes. Amen. So let's talk about first where it says to set at liberty. To set at liberty. Now, in the Greek, that word liberty means to set apart. Now, our first mind goes to, okay, well, that means to be set free. Well, sure. But it starts with the meaning of to set apart. Jesus has come with his gospel, with his anointing, to set you apart. To set you apart from the world. Yes. I'm going to say it this way, to set you apart from carnal Christians. Yes. That you don't have to live under the same thing that everybody else is living under. God has a better way of living. Amen. You know, we got some famous preachers, they preach, they teach, except they don't preach and teach how to get there, but they give you this, you can have your best life now. They just don't tell you how to live your best life now because they won't deal with the issues that are keeping you from living your best life now. Because if they ever started dealing with the issues that are keeping you from living your best life now, they lose all their money and all their people. Because they want the ooey gooey gospel that you don't have to do anything. Just come, sit, buy my books, and you'll be all set. I don't want to say I'm judging, but I kind of am judging. Because there's, okay, great, we want to hear that. That's great news, you don't have to live, but how do I get there?
Yes.
Amen? You know, if, I mean, in America, we understand it, but still, if, you know, somebody is overweight and they want to lose weight and they're like, they've never heard of exercise. They've never heard of a healthy diet. If they've never heard of those things and somebody says, you don't have to live like that, you can lose weight, great. And then they leave and don't tell them how to do it. What good does that do? Even the Bible says that about us. Okay, great. People come into your churches. They come in. They're desperate. They're hungry. They're naked. They're without. And you just basically pat them on the head spiritually and say, it'll all be okay. And you send them out the door. God is saying, I got a problem with that. You made yourself feel good, but you haven't helped them at all.
Right.
We need the truth on how to walk this. We need to understand that this oppression that comes, it's the devil, it's demons. Now, this is the other thing the Lord reminded me of, and I know this, but just hearing it the way he said this morning to me, it's like, okay, yeah, that's true. You know, this church, 43 years of ministry we're going into right now, some of us were, you know, raised, obviously, Kate is the oldest, youngest member of our church. She's been here from the very beginning, you know, her and her mom. But I'm saying, I'm just using us because now we're the 50-somethings, that we've been part of this church from the beginning. And we remember then, because we've been around long enough. I'm going to pay for that when I get home. We've been around long enough that we've seen it because, you know, the phrase that my father-in-law used to use all the time is, you know, demons and doorknobs. We were casting demons out of everything back in the day. Everything had a demon. If there was a sniffle, it was a demon. If there was a rattle, it was a demon. If the lights flickered, it was a demon. I mean, demons were everywhere. And then, because that's coming out of the 60s and the 70s, because there was a spiritual awakening in America. And somebody began to preach and teach what Jesus preached and demonstrated. And wait a minute, there's demonic activity.
Absolutely.
So we come out of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and we're hot for God, but we're casting demons out of everything. And most of the stuff never had a demon in it. And then something shifted in the body of Christ. And it shifted from God moving to God moving to us, to God blessing us, to God what's in it for us. And then we stop talking about and defining and exposing the enemy. Most churches today won't even talk about demons. People get mad. I don't know. We had, you know, a family here last week. I don't know if they had to leave on purpose or did, but man, it seemed like when I started to talk about hell and we deserve to go to hell and thank God we don't have to go to hell, the whole family got up and left. I hope they just had to go because they just had to go. But if you left because we're talking about hell that you don't have to go to.
Come on.
But if you understand and you're going to hold the value to the heaven that you're going to, you better understand there was a hell waiting for you. Because
yes.
You're going to hold a higher value to what Christ has done for you.
True.
But this is what has happened to the body of Christ. We came out of the 70s and 80s and got into the 90s and the 2000s. And we stopped talking about all the things that created this spiritual awakening, which has been the same thing that has always created the spiritual awakenings that have ever taken place. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he preached about hell far more than he did heaven. He defined hell crystal clear more than he ever did about heaven. Why? Because there was a hell waiting for us. God never designed it for us. It was never his intent for us to go there. It was designed for Satan and every demon that either under his authority or followed him, whichever the case is. But it was never designed for man. But yet, man, if you choose to follow him, that's what's waiting for you.
Right.
But because of the fallen nature in Adam and what he did, that sin, that carnality is in each and every one of us.
Exactly.
Which is why we need a Savior.
Amen.
Which is why we got to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. To properly escape that and go to heaven and be with him for all of eternity. But if we stop preaching about hell, then heaven loses its value.
Wow.
And then when heaven loses its value, so does its Savior. And then why are we coming here? I'll tell you why. People just want to feel good. Make me feel good, preacher. Say something that makes me feel good. It doesn't matter if I experience it all. I just want to hear something that makes me feel good. And don't you dare tell me that I have something to do to make that work. Because after all, I'm saved by grace and I don't have to work and do anything in this kingdom. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but it's not the one that God wrote. Amen. So, get off of that. Back to demons for just a moment. The same thing happened. We stopped talking about the enemy. We stopped exposing the tactics of the enemy. We stopped dealing with the enemy. And then we ignored the enemy. Do you think he went away just because we ignored him?
No.
No. He's still doing what he's always been doing. The difference is nobody's paying attention anymore. And unfortunately, most of the church is giving him permission to function in our lives, to even function in our churches. You know, the Bible does say this, you know your Bibles, that when the word is preached, when the seed of the word is sown, Satan comes immediately. You know what immediately means, right? Immediately. Yeah, I know that's deep. Immediately. Well, if immediately is immediately, then when I preach the word and the word is being sown into your life and he comes immediately, that means he shows up to church. Now, he doesn't have authority in here, but he will show up and say, hey, listen, you don't want to listen to that. Discard that. Throw that out. That's not for you. There's a preacher down the road that says you don't have to do anything. You can live however you want because after all, you're saved by grace. He's done everything for you. This preacher is just trying to tell you that you got to work to heaven. No, I'm not. No, we know what the Bible says. You can't work your way to heaven, but you certainly can work your way to hell. I just learned that from my pastor. I know that principle, but the way he said it, I'm like, oh my Lord, I've never heard it said that way. He goes, no, we don't work our way to heaven. We work because we're going to heaven. We're created for his workmanship, not yours, for his, right? These are Bible verses I'm referencing, by the way. The Bible also says that, listen, those who do such things. Now, why would we have those warnings in the scriptures if we were already going to hell?
Yeah.
See, the world's already going there. So those verses weren't written to the world. They're written to believers. Those that practice such things will not or shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5. And gives a whole list, about 18 things in that list before it gets to the fruit of the Spirit. Those who practice such things, not to the world, to the church. Which means, okay, you can't work your way to heaven, but you certainly can work your way to hell. By your lifestyle, by what you're doing, by how you're living. All right? Demons. Devils. They haven't gone away. Today, we celebrate them. Maybe not you. I hope to God not you. But the world celebrates them. This last week, our government in Massachusetts just signed into law. May she repent quickly and everybody who celebrated with her before they burn in hell. I'm not shocked by it. New York did this a few years ago and they had a celebration. I'm not shocked that Massachusetts would do the same. I'm not cursing her to hell. She cursed herself. There's still hope for her. There's a chance for her, but you better get it right quick because just like our days are numbered, so are hers.
Exactly.
Today is the day of salvation. We don't know when our last is. Only he does.
Yes.
But come on. We're living in a day where what's the big deal? It's not a big deal. Well, it's a big deal to our God.
Absolutely.
How can you get to that point in America, the Christian nation, where you could just sign these things into law and think that there's no issue because you've lost sight that there is a hell waiting?
Right.
And because you lost sight of a hell waiting, you've lost the value of heaven.
Yes.
And because you've lost the value of heaven and who's seated in heaven, there's no thought of there's going to be a repercussion to this.
Exactly.
There's no thought that the man who said, and respectfully, the God who said, don't do this,
right,
might still have an issue with it.
Yes. Right.
So, when we lose sight of these things, I'm not against doctors. So don't take anything I'm about to say that I'm against doctors and I hate medicines and we're against. No, they have their place and thank God for them. I believe they're anointed. Yes. I said it a few moments ago and I mean it. Without doctors, most of us would be dead. Not by God's design, because His design, His purpose, His perfect will is that we trust Him and we never have to need a doctor.
Right.
Do not go out here and say, Pastor said don't ever need a doctor. Because you might die. Thank God we have them for that very reason, because most of the church today does not have the faith to trust our God for healing in their time of need. We heard about it, we believe it, kind of, sort of, we quote the verses, but we don't have most of the church does not have the faith for it. That's why I believe God anointed those men and women to do what they do and create the things that they've created. But that's not His perfect will. So going right along with, you know, kind of building back towards demons. Today, instead of dealing with them, we medicate them. Have you noticed? Let me help you. If you go out to any psychiatrist today, every one of you sitting in here today has a disorder. Every one of you. Because I like things in order, that's now a disorder. Because I like things in, I like things neat and lined up, that's a disorder. What idiot came up with that? A demon.
Yes.
Because when things are starting to get out of whack and out of order, instead of putting them in order the way God wants them,
right,
we need to excuse them away.
Right. That's it.
Worse than that is when demonic activity has influence. We can't possibly say, well, that could be an outside influence, so let's deal with that. You know why they can't say it? Because they don't know how to deal with it.
Exactly.
So we start creating. I want to get off of that before I get myself into trouble with some people in here. Not that I care, but at the same time, I don't need you running out there. Pastor said, thank God for doctors.
Yes.
To maybe a small extent, thank God for, you know, certain psychiatrists. Thank God for the medications that do help people. But shame on the church for going silent about the real enemy. You know, if we go back in the day, you know, a lot of these psychiatric places, they would call the church. They would get preachers in there to pray for and cast things out for people to get their healing. That's long gone today. Anyways. So dealing with this, the Lord was just saying, yeah, we went from one extreme to the other.
That's it.
Years ago now, I just was dealing with Bible verses talking about, hey, listen, angels respond to us. Angels don't respond to you just because you pray. It says that they respond to God's word.
Right.
So when you pray God's word, the holy angels have a right to respond to what you're praying. Not because of what you said, but because of what He said that's in your mouth. So when you preach His word, when you declare His word, when you pray His words, holy angels respond to God's words spoken by humans. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. But angels, be holy or fallen, they're ministering spirits. They respond to words. So the fallen spirits do not respond to God's word, but they'll respond to other words. And they'll try to manipulate to get you to speak things they can respond to. That's why Satan, all he can really do is throw a thought at you. That's why it says by the word of God, the shield of faith. It's the word of God that counteracts, defuses, deflects the words of the enemy. So they don't take root in your mind, in your thinking. That when those thoughts come, you recognize, hey, my thought, that isn't what God said. So no, I'm not taking this. You know, we put up the shield of faith, but really you're just taking the word of God saying, no, that doesn't line up with God's word. I'm not receiving that. In fact, if that thing keeps coming, I'm going to deal with God's word to deal with that, because no, that's not what God said. But if Satan can get you to take hold of that, but he doesn't just want you to take hold of it. He wants you to start speaking it. You know, like many people, you know, we're not saying that the sickness isn't real. But why would you say it's my arthritis?
Right.
Why would you take ownership of it?
Exactly.
Well, my arthritis is acting up. Well, you can enjoy your arthritis, but I don't want any arthritis, so I rebuke that no arthritis is mine. Now, I'm not possessing that. I'm not taking that. I'm not claiming that. God forbid it starts trying to speak to me. I'm going to deal with that and cast it down and cast it out. And pray that the blood of Jesus does exactly what it said it would do. Bring healing to my body if something is coming. But I'm not taking ownership of that.
Amen.
Amen. I learned years ago, I'm not walking around and saying, well, my anger issue.
Come on. That's good.
That ain't my issue.
No.
Now, yes, I may have dealt with that. I'm speaking about me now. This is part of my testimony.
Yes.
I had rage issues then. Anger, unforgiveness, ticked off, mad, you name it, I had it. And I'd bottle it up until that poor last soul popped the cap. And they got the whole brunt of it. And yeah, for a while, because that's how we're trained in America. That's how we're raised in America. Well, it's my issue, my problem, my deal. Well, why are you dealing with it alone? And then I started to find out, wait a minute, I don't have to live like that.
Right.
I don't have to live under that. Why am I taking ownership of this? Now, yes, I had to fix the things I broke. That you have to take ownership of. But I'm talking about the issue itself. So I stopped saying my anger. And anytime anger or rage or whatever the case may be started to work on me, I started to rebuke it. I ain't living like this anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Old things have passed away. That's the old me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to act like that old guy any longer.
Yeah.
I'm a new creation. I'm made new every day. I may have tripped and stumbled yesterday, but today is going to be a better day because I'm not that guy I was yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm not owning this. I'm not taking this. That's not mine. God never designed me to be like that. And I can tell you right now, my wife can. Do I get mad? Sure. Come on. You can't go through this life, especially today, you can't go through this life and just, oh, I'm just happy all the time. You're weird. We might want to cast that goofy spirit out of you. Come on, there's a lot of things going on right now that should, rightfully so, tick you off. You know, the Bible speaks about a righteous indignation. That is not a happy-go-lucky moment. That's somebody who is righteously ticked off about what sin is doing, sin is creating, and what it's causing all over the place. Our God is not a happy-go-lucky God. I don't think for a second he's looking down from his throne right now and he's impressed with his creation right now. Let alone that, I don't think he's too impressed with his church.
That's right.
As a whole.
Right.
Not just higher ground ministry, I'm talking about the entire body of Christ because of what's going on. Because we have the authority that's been granted unto us, given unto us by the name and the power of Jesus Christ to deal with these things, and we're not. Now, maybe we are, you are, but not everywhere. So I don't think our God is too happy right now. In fact, we just finished up a study on Revelation, starting at the beginning of this year, going into it. And as we go through that, everything that we see being poured out in the book of Revelation is not from a happy God. And it's not coming from Satan. It's coming from heaven. A God who is ticked off at what sin has produced.
Right.
But in the midst of all that, he's doing everything he can to get the attention of the inhabitants of this earth. Because he loves his creation. But he's got to deal with sin. So walking this life and being mad, that's not the issue. In fact, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger is not the issue. It's what you do with it, how you handle it. But still taking ownership of all, just my anger. Or different cultures. Well, it's just my Irish temper. I could be Irish. I have no hair, so you can't tell if it's red or not. I'm not, but why is it the Irish are always ticked off? Come on, we've all heard that phrase, my Irish temper. We got all the redheads shrinking down right now. But why has a whole culture, a whole group of people taken ownership of these things? But yet, people will stand back, well, see, they're always ticked off, they're always mad. Well, yeah, because they took ownership of it. But who ministered that to them in the first place? Who lied to them in the first place that because you have red hair, you have to be angry all the time? stop looking at him, the poor kid. He's trying to hide over there. It's like, everybody's looking at me right now. I'm not mad, really. But to think that demons aren't ministering even still today and trying to convince, you know, of course, we say it all the time. There are spirits, they're called familiar spirits. They chase family lines and they bring because grandpa, dad, now you will have the same thing. But because grandpa had it and dad had it, you're going to have to have it. Because that's just been in our family. That's just the way my family is. That's just how we all act. Or, come on, how about cities or locations? Well, that's just where we're from. This is just how it's always been here. Well, if we adopted that and we continued with that, then this whole congregation would be depressed. Because, you know, 40 plus years ago when this church was founded here by my father-in-law, you know, this was one of the most top 10 most depressed cities in the nation. So if we just adopt and we just, well, you know, that's just what Gardner is. So that's just how it's always going to be because that's what they say. So then we're going to have a whole bunch of depressed people here. Right? But who brought that? Who ministers that? Demons.
Yes.
Amen. And God said, because we went from one extreme, now we go to the other, we don't even talk about them. We don't even acknowledge them. That most of the church today, now some of you sitting here go, I remember those teachings. I got those books. I remember all of that. Sure, I remember that. So great. You got you sat, you lived, you watched, you experienced. But how many new people coming into the kingdom don't know anything about this? They've never heard any of this. And then a preacher like me stands up and we just preach the whole Bible. They're going, oh my Lord, what's going on here? There were demons? I thought that was just Hollywood. Where do you think they got the idea from? You know, unfortunately, back in the day, yes, horror movies have been around, you know, as long as movies have been around pretty much. But come on, back in the 70s, Linda Blair made it cool. And if you don't know that name, that's a good thing. You don't need to. But Hollywood celebrated that. And in that, they made the church look weak. And since that point, everything has shifted in Hollywood that demons have more power. Demons have more authority. Demons have. And humans and the church have nothing. We come in weak and meek and mild. And we just, oh, if maybe we can do this. You think God's not up on his throne going, my son walked this planet. My son walked through a tomb, a grave, and a man possessed of legion, thousands of demons. I had this thought last night. I'm still praying about this, but I'm going to share it with you. I've preached this because I do believe this, because it's further proof that when somebody recognizes the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, even that man who had a legion of demons, it says that he came and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped. Here was my thought last night. I don't know if it was that man or not. Because the Bible says every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. I don't know. I'm studying this a little bit more. But was it the fact that Jesus walked on that island and the demons recognized Jesus is here? And they had to come and bow. They didn't have the authority they thought they had on that island because he was on that island. They bowed. We know they deceived because we know that even with Paul and Silas as they're preaching, teaching, that the woman, the little girl with the spirit of divination, the fortune telling, that she followed them around for a couple of days. Oh, these are the men who came to preach Jesus and the gospel. They've come to save us. What the little demon is saying is right, but it's to irritate. So the demons could have come to Jesus because they got to bow to Jesus because Jesus is the authority. They thought they were until he stepped foot on that island. And they came and hopefully, if we just bow, maybe he'll leave us alone. I don't know. I had that thought last night. But that verse came to me and I'm wondering how much of it was that guy and how much of it was those demons because they recognized the king is here. The king is here. Amen. But I love that because it shows us that, wait a minute, if that is the case, and because they recognize our authority is gone because he's here.
That's it.
Think that demons aren't using Hollywood to try to tell the church that it's weak? You don't have that authority today? I'm not off point, though this wasn't part of my message. I'm not off point. Demons minister. They lie. They're not the authority, but they try to pretend to be the authority. Amen.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter,
Lord.
Chapter 5. You know what I love about being the pastor? My wife helped me with this. If I don't get to my message or finish it, I have another service if Jesus tarries. It's only taken me 17 years to figure that out, but praise God, we're there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's start in verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Exalt you? Well, what does that mean? Why? When? Where? He's getting to that. It says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." If you're casting something, that means you got to throw it away from you. Stop picking it back up.
Amen.
See, too many Christians act like a lot of the fishermen in here. You cast the lure and then you reel it back. Now, the idea of casting is you get that as far from you as you possibly can, but don't reel it back. You cast it to God, whatever that care may be, whatever that issue may be. You give it to God. You trust that God has the answer, the provision, the direction, the healing, the deliverance for it. You trust in him in that. Amen?
Amen.
And stop trying to figure it all out on your own.
Yeah.
Obviously, you haven't been able to, so that means you can't. Because if you could, you would. Right? Verse 8 says, "Be sober." Be sober here doesn't mean don't be drunk, alcohol. That means don't be intoxicated. With what? With what we just read in verse 7, your cares. You know how many people are intoxicated with their own issue? That's all they talk about.
Wow.
They're consumed with it. Everybody's got to hear about it.
Wow.
"Listen, I love you, sweetheart. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of hearing that you stubbed your big toe. Get over it. Everybody has stubbed their big toe at one point, and you're going to do it again." Are you going to be this like kind of silent all morning? Am I messing with all of you? How'd he know I stubbed my big toe this morning and it hurts? People are intoxicated today. And they want you intoxicated with their issue. You know, social media was just starting before my father-in-law stepped into heaven. And, you know, I can remember it as clear as day. It's now our house. My office at my house used to be the TV room. And I remember, because we used to have this routine on Monday nights, you know, we'd church, prayer down here, youth group, Kate and I ran that. Then we'd go home, we'd all get together, we'd be in the living room watching TV, Daystar would be on, and then different things would come up and, you know, whatever, and then we'd kind of go our ways. Every Monday night, and generally I'd be sitting on the floor, leaning up against the couch. It's burned in my head. And Facebook had just started. And my wife mentioned to her dad that Patty had a Facebook page. And his response was, "Why does she need that?" It's just burned in my brain. He had no idea what hell that was going to bring on this earth yet. And you could already tell by his attitude, he couldn't see the point of it. Now, I don't know what they can see from heaven, but I'm like, man, I wish we had all listened to that attitude that day. And just social sites are horrible. The design have not done what it was designed to do. It's created so much issue, so much problem, so much falsehood. And now every social site out there, people want you involved in everything that they want you involved with. They're intoxicated. And they want you intoxicated with their problems, their issues. And if you're dumb enough to put your stuff on there, they'll dive in and tell you how to fix it and why you're wrong. Though they've done nothing to fix anything in their own lives, they're the expert in your lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know how much I love. May Facebook and all of them crash again in the name of Jesus. And I'm sorry if I just knocked over your sacred cow, but I'm not that sorry. Because some of you cannot function without it. You're intoxicated with it. So be sober. It's not alcohol, but it is carries that same meaning, intoxication. But it's going right along with casting your cares. That doesn't mean you ignore what's going on. I always got to preface some of this stuff because people just take things in extremes. Well, pastor said I can't be I just can't deal with it, so I'll just ignore this problem. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what your pastor is saying. But at some point, you got to say, all right, I can't do anything with this, because if you could, you would. And because you can't, you won't. Or you won't, you can, or pick one of them. So that means if you can't give it to God, you got to go to him so he can help you fix this thing. Be sober. Be vigilant. So don't be intoxicated, number one, but two, be vigilant. You got to be severe. You can't treat this lightly. You can't pretend like I can just, well, it's not a big deal. No, you better be on guard. You better be alert. You better be vigilant, because your adversary, not God's adversary, your adversary, the devil. Now, you can put in that category all demonic activity, every demon, the devil, demons. Let me help with some of you in here. You know, when we hear all these people, oh, the devil's been chasing me. No, he hasn't. You're not worth his time. You're so stinking carnal. Your whole life represents him. So why is he chasing you? You're chasing him. Your attitude, your action, your posts. You're behind the scenes, behind closed doors, what you're saying, who you're gossiping with, who you're gossiping about. You're not even on his radar. He's celebrating you right now. But that doesn't mean that demons aren't, because there's only one devil. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is ever-present. Satan's singular. He's only in one place at one time. God is everywhere at the same time. Satan's only in one place at one time. So Satan himself, the devil himself, isn't, but that doesn't mean demons aren't. I'm convinced that Satan's right now working in D.C. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Right. Why a roaring lion? Well, because he's a counterfeiter. Is that a word, counterfeiter?
Yeah, sure.
I know counterfeit's a real word, but counterfeiter? If not, I'm going to trademark that, counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. Who's he counterfeiting? Jesus. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He holds that title. That's why I mentioned when he walked onto that, when he stepped foot on that island, he didn't even have to open his mouth yet. Those demons knew he was there. The Bible says every knee, heaven, earth, hell, every knee, every angel, every demon will bow their knee to Jesus. And he doesn't have to demand it. It's just going to happen. But Satan comes as, he's trying to pretend that he has the same authority and the same power that Jesus has. Most of the church has bought that lie. Most of the church says, oh, there's this epic battle going between Jesus and Satan. It's one or the other. They're both contending for my soul. They're both fighting for my soul, and I just don't know which one's going to win. I do, Satan. How dare you say that? Because if you don't understand that your God is all powerful, and Satan's a counterfeit, you've already bowed your knee to him. Satan is not Jesus' adversary. He's ours. Jesus is all-powerful. God does not even have to leave his throne to deal with him. We don't see Jesus leaving his throne until he comes back for his church. We don't see through the 7-year tribulation period Jesus honestly leaving his throne to come to this earth to administrate what's going to happen down here. He's just all doing it from his throne. Satan's got to roam. He's got to find someone. In fact, that's what the verses say. He's as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's got to find somebody. So he doesn't know anything or everything. He's got to find somebody. Well, who's he looking for? Those that are intoxicated. Those that are intoxicated with the cares of this life. Those that are intoxicated with the cares that they don't know what to do with, how to handle, what to deal with. I just don't know what to do. How do I? He's looking for, okay, who is not focused on him? Who's focused on their stuff? Who's focused on the issues right now? Who's focused on, listen, again, sickness, disease, we understand those are real things. We're not talking that they're not real and you ignore those. But who, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer who knows that Jesus Christ is the healer, not was, he is the healer, how many Christians are so consumed with, intoxicated with their issue, their problem, their what I'm bound to, my anger, my alcohol, my drugs, my, because that's all that's coming out of their mouth. It's my problem. It's my issue. It's my stuff. It's my problem. I just don't know what I'm going to do about my, and Satan goes, oh, they're mine now. He's looking for whom he may devour. The may devourers are those who are intoxicated with their own cares, because they refuse to cast their cares upon God. They refuse to go to God and say, Lord, I need your help with this. Satan's looking for, and it says that he as a roaring lion. You know, lions don't really have to do all that much. All they have to do is roar. Think about this for a moment. What happens, you know, if you've ever been near a zoo, when a lion roars, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck, I don't have very much, but it will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up just at its roar because of the sound that it has. You know why they do that? Not just say, hey, I'm here, I'm big and bad. You know why they do that? In hopes that the prey will make a mistake and expose their location. What happens when the enemy, Satan, when he roars? Those who are not solid in their walk with God, those who are, you know, intoxicated with their own issues, when the enemy roars, they expose where their faith really is. I'm believing God to get out of my, you know, this financial mess. Yes, I put myself in this. Yes, I created this issue. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give. Lord, I'm going to trust you with all of this. And then the bill comes. Oh, my God, I tithed last week. What happened? Oh, I got them. They claim the tither's rights, but they're not a real tither. They don't really trust God in that. All I had to do was send them one $5 toll from the Callahan Tunnel, and they freaked out. Because that's what I got in the mail yesterday. Oh, my God, a $5 tax bill. And Satan goes, oh, yeah, you really trust God with your finances. I can devour you very easily. Yeah. Little roar. Because the prey exposes itself. If it's not skilled enough to say, wait a minute, if I just stay put and trust God. You know, it's been decades since I've seen it, but I kind of sort of remember Bambi. That one of the things in the movie is that, you know, the deer were trying to teach Bambi to stay away from hunters, stay out of the open fields. I'm jogging my memory because really it's been probably 4 decades. But how is it that wildlife seems to know this? All of you hunters know this firsthand around here. We see deer all year long until it's hunting season. And then somehow, miraculously, they all hide. Yeah. I just want to know who's emailing the deer, giving them a heads up. It sounds silly, it sounds stupid, but God, you know, even though they have no moral soul to be redeemed, animal are smart enough to figure out seasons. When the weather starts changing, when it starts to get a little bit cooler, we start dropping off, and not by natural causes. We get that Puerto Rican in the woods chasing us with a shotgun. I don't know. I didn't think we were going to have this problem in Massachusetts, but now we do. I think when it gets a little cooler, we got to go hide. Come on, if stinking wildlife can figure this out.
Yeah.
Well, that's exaggerated. Okay, how many have dogs or cats? How is it that stupid little thing in my house, when it does the wrong thing in my house, when I walk through the door, it knows to hide? And how is it that the other dingling that's much bigger, he's telling on him? We got one that hides and one that comes running up to us, barking at us, going, you're like, let me show you, let me show you, let me show you. What was my point? No. No. We're exposing the enemy. See, when Satan roars as a lion, it doesn't say he is a lion. As, he's masquerading, he's pretending. He's trying to convince you he has at least the same authority Jesus has, which he does not. In fact, we know this to be true because even Book of Revelation says that when that time comes, God is sending an angel, not Jesus himself, not the Holy Spirit, and not Father God. An angel is coming to bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. If an angel is coming down and God says, I don't even need to waste my time, I can send one of my, and I don't know, I think it'd be absolutely hilarious if it was one of the low-ranking angels. Because I got a feeling it won't be Michael, it won't be Gabriel. I got a feeling it's going to be some little no-name angel with very little authority, but still has more power than Satan. Is going to bind him, chain him, and cast him. And the Bible even says that, you know, when this is all said and done, God's going to show us who Satan really is. And we're all going to say, seriously? We let that frustrate us?
Right.
Yeah, so he has to masquerade. So when he roars, well, how's he going to roar? He's going to bring attention to what you're intoxicated with. And when he brings attention to what you're intoxicated with, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, something with your kids. It could be something in your marriage. It could be something in your finances. It could be something in the church. It doesn't matter what it is. He's going to bring attention to whatever you're intoxicated with. You know what he won't bring attention to? If you're intoxicated in Christ. If you're consumed in the things of God, if you're just, I can't get enough of God, I can't get enough of his house, I can't get enough of his word, I can't get enough of his anointing, that he won't bring attention to. But he'll bring attention to everything else.
Yep.
Because if he can get your attention, then he's got you. Because just like that lion in the wild, when he roars, that animal who has not experienced life in their context, because animals figure this out. When you see mom and dad and all your siblings be eaten by the lion, sooner or later that little gazelle or whatever it is figures out, when I hear that, don't poke my head up.
Right.
And maybe he'll go away.
Come on.
See, lions don't have to hunt very hard. All they have to do is, the male has to roar. And other things just pop its head up. Well, Satan's doing the same thing with the church to find out what you're intoxicated with. Amen. Because it causes people to be scared. Question God, because you're so intoxicated with what you can't do, you forgot about the one who can do the impossible. So Satan uses fear. He'll use lies.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus. The spirit of what if.
Yes.
Better, the demon of what if. That's all he can minister. What if this happens? What if this happens? Well, my response to that always, what if that doesn't happen? But people are so intoxicated with the what if. Well, the doctor gave us this report and we got to go in for these tests and we got to do, okay, we're not against doctors. Thank God for the test. They can tell us things we can't see. That's why we We trust our doctors. They can tell us and reveal to us, because you can't look inside your own body. But their equipment allows them to look inside your body and tell you things. But man, that roar already. And then he'll feed on the, because this is how most doctor's appointments look. Okay, you got an issue. You don't go to the doctor when everything's right. Right? Outside of your annual checkup, maybe, and you know, but outside of that, we generally go because something's not right. Yeah. So when we go to because something's not right, you know, what do they normally say? Okay, well, based on this, this is what I think it is, but we need to rule out is their general procedure. Well, that we need to rule out doesn't mean you have.
That's right.
But how many people with, they're testing me for this right now? No, they're ruling it out. They're not saying you got it. They're just ruling it out because they can't tell you what you got. They just have to systematically, if we rule all these things out, then it's got to be in this direction.
Yeah.
Because they're not God.
That's right.
But still, how many people? I know this person years ago, you know, because they were going through things and, you know, that procedure. We need to rule this out. We need to rule out leukemia. That was the actual thing that at that moment that test was ruling out. That individual started, I've got leukemia. No, you haven't even had the appointment for them to rule the thing out yet.
Right.
In that context, they like the attention.
Yes.
I'd be careful with what you lay claim to.
Wow.
So, lies. Or that lie could be the what if. The demon of what if. Well, what if this is true? What if they come back and it's positive? What if they come back and it's, yeah, but what if they come back and say, we can't find anything?
Hallelujah. Exactly.
Amen. Use this fear, tragedies, to cause panic because of what you've lived through, experienced. These things are real. We're not negating these things. People have experienced some of the weirdest, strangest things. And as the days get weirder and stranger, people are experiencing weirder and stranger things. So, but Satan will use the demon will use those. Well, what if that happens again? What if they do this to you like somebody else did this to you? That's all he's doing is roaring to see how intoxicated are you with these things. You know, there are many people, they champion those issues of life. No, I don't. Really? That's all you talk about. I know this one minister, bless their heart, you know, but no matter who they are, where they are, what conversation they're having, whether you're somebody new that they've never met before or somebody they've known for a long time, their same conversations keep coming up. The same issue that they lived through 30 years ago keeps coming up. You're a minister of the gospel. What are you doing? See, preachers aren't exempt from this either.
That's right.
They're intoxicated with that issue of the past. Now, what happened in the past, it's horrible. Absolutely. We're not saying it's not and let it go in that regard. But man, you got to give it to God at some point.
Yes.
Because after 30 years, don't you think maybe it's time to let go of that thing? Is it still happening? Most of those people you're talking about, they're dead and gone now. So why are you still reliving that? But they're intoxicated.
Yes.
See, Satan doesn't care what the roar has to be. He'll just bring that roar to see, where can I get you? Where can I get you? I'll find out where you're intoxicated. I'll find out what care you haven't cast on God yet. And then I'll use that to devour you. I'll use that to bring you in so I can destroy you, break you, belittle you, minimize you. Now, this is where we were going this morning because we're going back to Jesus came to heal, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Because if Satan can get you to keep reliving and keep pressing you down, to keep you down, to keep you down, to keep you crushed with that issue. Because honestly, most people, they're so intoxicated with their own issue, they blame Satan, but it's really themselves. And all he's saying is, all I have to do is just keep feeding this. I just keep feeding this. Because every nation, it doesn't matter where it is on this planet, where we have like these governments that are out of control, we have these dictatorships, and they keep their people oppressed. All it would ever take is for those people to rise up and say, we're done. Because all of those nations, just like the nation of Israel. Remember what Pharaoh said?
Yeah.
Pharaoh's leadership said after the first Pharaoh had died, and now they've multiplied, the nation of Israel is blessed under the banner, the authority of Egypt. somebody along the line said, wait a minute, whoa, they're starting to outnumber us. And if we don't keep them just doing, because all they were doing was serving. They were grateful to be in this land. They came out of a time of famine. They were actually led there by God. And they're helping this nation that welcomed them in. The first generation understood that, and there was a mutual understanding. And man, they were both blessed. But then leadership came. Well, we like having the free labor. Let's keep them under bondage now. And then they realize, wait a minute, they outnumber us. We've got to beat them down so far now, because if they ever realize they outnumber us, we're in trouble. Go read your Bible. That's what it says. So that they had to keep them beat down to the point where they just accepted, well, we were just raised in this. This is how it's always going to be. This is how it's always been. Because they never experienced the freedom that their fathers, their grandfathers once had. All the nations on the planet, even still today, that same principle is working. If those nations ever said, you know what, we've had enough. There's far more of us than you. They'd take their nations back. America's not exempt from that. If the church ever woke up and said, we're done. This is a Christian nation. We're tired of hearing it's not a Christian nation. We're tired of you trying to vote our God out of everything. There's more of us than you. But Satan, even in the church today, has found what we're intoxicated with. For the longest time, we're intoxicated with blessing. Give and get. Give and get. We were intoxicated with it. So we started to ignore the enemy. And Satan just kind of kept those things going. Now we were so caught up in the give and get mentality. Well, then let's throw a few recessions in there. Because they don't have faith about demons anymore and how to deal with demons anymore. So let's throw some issues in there now. A recession here, a recession there. Ooh, we can collapse all these corporations. They'll lose all their retirements. Oh, let's get inflation way out of whack right now. Let's get them so focused on gas prices right now. Yes. You think all of this isn't spiritual? Of course it's all spiritual. And look at what it's done. Our nation is so consumed, intoxicated with things that, in all honesty, we could fix overnight.
Yeah. You're right.
In the natural. Our nation has so much stinking oil, we don't need any other country on the planet. We've got so much stinking food in this nation alone that we throw out at McDonald's every day, we could feed the world. So how are people going hungry in our own nation? Intoxication in all these areas that have us distracted in so many areas, forgetting the fact that we have the authority and under the banner of Jesus Christ to fix all of these issues. Little by little. Whacking down, bringing down. Bringing even the church into a place of oppression that, well, this is just how America's always been. I'm disgusted by most of the brotherhood here as far as preachers in the state of Massachusetts. Now, I don't know them by name personally, but it just, you know, their attitude of, well, this is just how Massachusetts has always been. Well, that's your problem.
Right.
I'm not accepting this.
Amen.
I'm believing that in the name of Jesus, it started here, it's going to finish here.
Glory.
We're going to have a great move of God here, which means somebody's got to go. Something's got to change. So I'm not bowing to what they just passed law this past week. I don't care how demon-possessed they are. My God is more powerful than that. Amen. But we have to realize that, wait a minute, what are we intoxicated with? Because that's going to be his avenue of approach. That's where he's going at, to find out where you're intoxicated. Now, if you're going to be intoxicated with anything, be intoxicated with God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I got so much more I want to say. We're out of time here this morning because if I keep going, I'm going to have to keep going, and I'll keep you here until at least 3 o'clock. So if Ramona doesn't stand up right now, I'm going to keep you here until 3 o'clock. Why do you think I used Ramona? See, I'm a smart pastor. I know who's not going to move because she wants more. Stand to your feet. See, Satan comes. He can't devour anybody. He can't devour everybody. He can only devour those that are intoxicated with the very cares they were supposed to cast upon God. Which, when we come back on Tuesday, I'm going to deal with the spirit of oppression. You know, because Jesus, because I know not all of you are going to come back. So here's some homework for some of you that don't make your way back here on Tuesday night, though you should make your way back here on Tuesday. And I'm telling you as your pastor, if I could command you, but I'm not a cult leader, so I won't command you. But I would tell you, highly encourage you to come back on Tuesday night. But I already referenced it in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, in the tomb. Yes. Madman of Gadara. We're going to be dealing with that on Tuesday night a little bit deeper. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. The woman who was bent over for 18 years. Two different category of people. Two different demographics of faith. Madman of Gadara. His own island didn't know how to deal with him. So they let him play in the tombs. We don't know what to do with you. Just go. The bigger issue is the woman who's bent over for 18 years. That culture went to church multiple times a week. 18 years she went to church, bent over, and nobody would help her? Yeah. Is it a matter of nobody would help her or nobody knew how to help her?
Right.
I think it's both. Yeah. But even worse than that is when Jesus heals her, the church leadership gets ticked off because we're so consumed with rules. You can't do this now. We're in church. How dare you heal somebody in church? What's wrong with you? We don't do that. This is a holy day. What? Maybe even worse than that. We're going to deal with this on Thursday, so I'm kind of giving you... What's worse than that? I don't see that she came looking for Jesus. I think she accepted it. This is just how it's always been. This is how it'll always be. You know what the sad part was? She wasn't sick. There was nothing physically wrong with her. The Bible said Jesus cast a demon, a spirit of infirmity out of her. It was a demon that caused her to be bowed over for 18 years. Some of you in here may not like what I'm about to say. These things that you've been dealing with in your body, please come out on Tuesday night. We're going to pray for you.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing physically wrong with you.
Nope.
It's a spirit.
Yes.
You're not possessed.
Nope.
You're oppressed.
There it is.
There's a difference. This demon has convinced you that this issue you've been dealing with is physical. It's not. It's spiritual. It's a demon. So please come out on Tuesday night. We're going to cast out some demons. Amen. We're going to teach you a little bit more on this before we pray for those, but I'm telling you right now, I'm a good pastor. I can point you out. You got to get this. Because otherwise, even with what I just said, there's a borderline. You're a little bit irritated with me already. Until you get it and you understand it, you're going to hang on to it. Because I can pray. I can lay hands on. We can anoint you. We can have every elder in the house lay hands on you. You can see every healing miracle take place in here. But you're going to still be convinced it's not. It's not. And you're just going to keep welcoming it back. Welcoming it back because you're going to take ownership of. It's my issue. I've had. I've done. I've been. And I'm telling you. We got to where God said he wanted to be this morning. It may have been kind of a weird way to get there, but we got there. But God said when we come back on Tuesday, there'll be an anointing in here to be able to deal with these spirits that have been harassing people. Because it is. It's a spirit of infirmity. I had a person I said that 2 years ago because their issue was, and it still is today, it's a spirit of infirmity. They got offended with me. I'm like, listen, let me explain this to you. You go to the doctor. They give you the pill. You're healed. They're the miracle worker. You testify of it. And then the same pattern happens time and time and time again. And it's always the same pattern. 2 to 4 weeks. perfect. And then all of a sudden, something shows up somewhere else. And then that previous doctor was a quack. And then you find the next one, and he's the hero. And the same pattern, same pattern. There's not an ailment in your body. It's called a demon.
Yes.
That just learns how to poke you.
Every time.
Doesn't mean that you're possessed.
Right.
Oppressed. There is a difference.
Yeah.
That person got offended, left the church, mad at me still today.
Yeah.
But still dealing with the same issue. Could be healed and delivered.
Yeah.
But that's their deal, not mine.
Right.
But I'm telling you, this is how it works.
Hallelujah.
I'm saying some things here to get you, to keep you, to want you to have to, I got to be there on Tuesday night.
Hallelujah.
I'll be here. Whether you're here or not, I'll be here. You want to be here.
Amen.
If you don't want to carry this thing around any longer.
Amen.
Amen. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we understand one thing that this church has never shied away from is preaching the full counsel of your word. We still believe in the tithe. We still believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We still believe in speaking in tongues. We do recognize that there is an enemy, and we're not shy to preach that there is a demon, there is a devil, and there is a hell. We preach what your word says about all of it. So we understand the value that you purchased that we could have liberty from all of these things and enjoy all the blessings that you have for it. So Father, I thank you right now that even this morning it was kind of a little scattered. May these words take root in the hearts of everybody here, those that are streaming with us right now, that you don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay bound to these things that have been harassing and frustrating. That Jesus Christ, through his work, through Calvary, has purchased the liberty that we can have. Not just to be set apart, not just to be set free, but to be sent forth, to walk in that liberty. Never to have to go back. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're working on us right now. Lord, I thank you faith is being stirred up in us right now. That over the next couple of days, whoever is dealing with things in their body right now, whoever's been dealing with these things that the doctors can't seem to figure out, may they be in their prayer closet. May they be trusting you. May they be believing that Tuesday night when we come back, that you are going to show up and you're going to bring a healing miracle into their bodies because you're going to deal with that foul spirit that's been lying to them. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you that you're helping us in the name of Jesus. And Father, for the rest of us, may we be praying for Tuesday night service.
Yes.
That you are going to move mightily. That you're going to show up and demonstrate your power, your delivering power. You said in your word, Mark 16, that those that believe shall cast out devils. Well, that's not just the possessed, that's also the oppressed.
Yes.
That we have the authority by the name of Jesus Christ because we believe. Therefore, these demons not only have to go, but they don't have a right to come back and talk.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, you're going to show up mightily on Tuesday night. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I had to look to see who it was. Give Paris just a couple of moments with the announcements and then going, God. But I'm telling you, do not miss Tuesday night. And even if somebody's not here, bring them on Tuesday night. I mean, here right now, and they missed the service for whatever reason. Get them here on Tuesday night. I would even get those here that, you know, question, why do you go to church? Why is it so weird? Why are you weird? You go to church so much. Get them here on Tuesday night so they can see the demonstrated power of God working and moving. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 91.
Yes.
Psalm 23.
Yes.
I love you. I call you blessed. Give Paris a moment and then go.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.